Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, the fifth book of the New Testament, where we continue with our daily reading. And I am going to read verses, chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. Acts 13, starting at verse number 44. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And this is what God's word says, starting at verse 44 of chapter 13. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, what an exciting journey this early church was on so many years ago. But the journey continues, and it continues with us. How do we carry on? How does this group of believers here at Beech Grove Church, how do we carry on what was started so many thousands of years ago by this early church? We want to learn from that here this morning, Lord, to learn how we can serve you. So continue to prompt our hearts. Continue to speak to us through your Holy Spirit. And let us know the direction we need to go. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I feel rather fortunate that I was born when I was, where I was, and to whom I was born to. Back in 1953, when I was born, that meant one thing. I got to appreciate all the great music throughout the 60s. And I loved the music from the 60s. For some reason, I have rock and roll just going through my blood. And I was a big rock and roll fan throughout those years. You probably remember a lot of the songs that were out back then. And I know this. I enjoyed rock and roll so much that I knew one thing. I wanted to be in a rock and roll band myself. And I was. I was in several of them throughout the years. But there was one band. There was many bands that I really liked. But there was one band in particular that I really, really liked there in the late 60s. And the name of the band was, remember, Creedence Clearwater Revival. If you remember the song Proud Mary and Who'll Stop the Rain and a lot of those other songs, very simple songs. And being in a band, you like those songs because there was usually never more than three chords in any of their songs. They were very easy to play. Did you know that they were only an item for 3 years, from 1969 through 1972? And in 1972, and they never had a number one hit, by the way, but in 1972, one of their very last hits that they had was a song that was titled Someday Never Comes. I don't know if you remember the song or not, but the refrain in that song said this, and these are the words from that song. It says this, "Well, I'm here to tell you now, each and every mother's son, that you better learn it fast, and you better learn it young, because someday never comes. The point he was trying to make was, don't procrastinate. Do it now. Teach it now. Learn it now. Because if you say you'll do it someday, someday never comes. I'm sure all of us in here have never said that, have we? Oh, I'll do it someday. I'll do it later on. I'll do it next week. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll study for that test later. Or, you know, I'll clean the house tomorrow. Whatever the case may be. There's always a someday, isn't there? There's always a time later on where I'll get this certain thing accomplished. I think we all have a part of that in all of us somewhere, somehow. But there's two people in particular I want to point out. And they're actually not in our reading for today, or they weren't even in our reading for this week. They were in our reading last week. Acts chapter 9. The first about 20 verses of Acts chapter 9, we should understand that that is the conversion of Saul when he was knocked off his horse and into Paul the apostle. But there's a couple situations I'd like to compare there between this thing called someday and with these two people, two different people, how they approached it. One was a man named Ananias. The Lord comes to Ananias in a vision in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 9, and he says this, and I'll paraphrase. Hey, Ananias, I want you to go to Straight Street to a house owned by a man named Judas, and in that house there's a guy named Saul, and I want you to go lay hands on him, because I have chosen him to do something special for me. And Ananias, in my secular imagination, says this. Wait a second. Time out. Lord, are we talking about the same person? This is Saul. This is the guy that's persecuting Christians. He's the guy that's taking people, men and women, taking them back to Jerusalem, persecuting them, and killing them. And you want me to go there to do what? In so many words, Ananias is saying this. I might do it someday, but I ain't doing it now. Well, the Lord gets the better end of this deal, and he says, listen, here's the way it's going to be, Ananias. You go because I told you to go. I'll be with you. Everything will be okay. I will be with you. Go lay hands on him. He is my chosen instrument to go preach to the Gentiles. Now get up, get out of bed, and go down to Straight Street. But Ananias wanted to kind of hold off. You see, for Ananias, it would be better to have a someday. Well, I'll go later on, Lord, when I realize that this guy, he's okay to be around. Because, you know, this might be some kind of setup here, and I just want to make sure that that's not going to happen. On the other hand, in that same chapter, in verse number 20, you have a man named Saul. He just got knocked off his horse a couple days earlier. This bright light has blinded him. He's been blind for 3 days. I have no idea what's been going through his mind for 3 days, and we can speculate many, many different things. But I know this, when Ananias shows up and lays his hands on Saul, the Bible tells us that something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. Saul took some water, some drink, some food, regained his strength, and then we have verse number 20. And it says, at once Saul got up and started preaching boldly for Jesus Christ. Now, if Saul was a little like Ananias, he would have said, you want me to do what? No, wait a second. You know those people out there that you want me to preach to? Did you know that I used to be persecuting them and imprisoning those people and killing those people? But what does Saul do? He immediately gets up and starts preaching. For Saul, there was no someday. Because for some people, they know that someday never comes. And for him, he thought this: if I don't do it now, it's not going to get done. And if I don't do it, it doesn't get done. Lord, I am your servant. I will do what you have requested. And there, right there in verse 20, depending on your Bible translation, it might say, at once he preached. Some might say, immediately he preached. Saul didn't wait any time to do what the Lord has asked him to do. What about us? Is there a someday in our lives? Is there a someday? A someday when, yeah, I'll serve you, Lord. When, you know, when I get all of my ducks in a row, when everything is lined up and the stars are just right, yeah, Lord, that's when I'll serve you. And that's when I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do. But don't ask me today. Ask me some other time. Does someday never come? Sometimes we quite often have excuses, don't we? Well, you know, I can't do it because of this, or I can't do it because of this, or I can't do it because of this. And before you know it, we have excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse why we can't serve the Lord in a capacity that we know well that we can serve the Lord. We're just waiting for a someday. Oh, let somebody else do it. Maybe we could pull a Moses here. Let somebody else do it. Send somebody else, Lord. Somebody else will do it. You know, how about these somedays? Well, someday I'll go to church. Okay, someday I'll go to church, Lord. Or, ooh, this one's hitting close to home. Someday I'll serve on the church board. Or someday I'll give some money to the church. But, you know, I can't give it right now, Lord, because I need all my money for me right now. Or someday, Lord, I'll share my faith with my sons and my daughters, or my mother and my father, or my coworkers, or that person who's in line behind me at Walmart. I'll do that someday, Lord. But you know what? Right now, you know, I just don't know enough about the Bible. I just don't know enough. Well, here comes the somedays, and here comes the excuses. Or how about this one? Maybe we can't serve the Lord because, well, someday I'll truly commit my life to Christ. But, you know, I'm just not ready for that yet because I'm just not ready to change. Someday, 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 excuse, excuse, excuse. And it keeps on going on and on and on. We find ourselves in the faith, but not very worthy. No, bad word. And we find ourselves not real effective witnesses in that faith. You know, I talked about Moses earlier. Moses wasn't looking for a someday. He was just looking for a somebody. You know, Lord shows up to him in the burning bush. We know that story. Exodus chapter 3 shows up. I want Moses, you go back. I'm choosing you. You're my deliverer. Go back, deliver my people. Come on. Wait a second. This might be the right burning bush, but you got the wrong shepherd. You just got the wrong person here. I'm not going back to them people. Send somebody else. How many times did he do it? 4 times. Go back and read it. He excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. He didn't want a someday. He wanted a somebody. And sometimes we want a someday and or a somebody else. Because we don't want to do the work that somebody else can do. Or don't want to do the work because we're afraid of failures. Excuse, 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 excuse. That's one side of the equation. You know, you can go totally to the opposite side, and you can be too aggressive and want to do everything for everybody all the time. And then in like 3 days, you get burned out. Let me give you an example. Back, a real quick little story time here. Back when my father passed away back in March of 2013, you know, when you go to a funeral home, you run into people that you haven't seen for years, right? They're coming to pay their last respects to the deceased, and you're standing there. And I run into all these cousins and people that I used to know from years back when I lived back in Pittsburgh. And here's my cousin Sharon. I hadn't seen Sharon probably 20, 30 years. And now here she is all grown up. And she comes up to me and she says this, "Mike, I understand you're a pastor." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And she says, "With what religion?" Now, why the use of that word? You got to remember, my whole family's Catholic. The only thing they know is Catholicism. They don't know a faith from a religion, from a denomination, from anything else. They just know Catholicism. I says, "Well, I'm part of the Protestant faith. And my church that I serve, we are non-denominational." And I know those two sentences went right over her head. But that's beside the point. I said, "What's your concern?" "Well, my son, his name's Lloyd, he's off on some Bible Jesus tangent, and he wants to be a pastor. And I thought maybe you could speak with him and you could tell him how to do that." And I said, "Explain to me what a Jesus Bible tangent is all about." Well, it didn't take long to find out that this dude's saved, okay? And she doesn't understand that. So I said, "I'd be glad to talk to your son." So I got his name and phone number, and I said, "When I get back to Virginia and all the dust has settled a little bit after this funeral, I'll give him a call." I did. Gave him a call, spoke to Lloyd. Lloyd sounds like a great young man on the other end of the phone. "Lloyd, how old are you?" "I'm 21. I said, "Why do you want to be a pastor?" Well, it didn't take long to find out this dude is saved. I mean, he's like super saved. He has found something. He found the pearl of great price. He found it in a field among people that have no clue what the pearl of great price is all about, if you know what I mean. And he's saying, "Mike, I just want to see people get saved. Mike, I just want to see people get saved." That's all he kept on saying. "Mike, I just want to see people get saved." And I said, "Lloyd, you can do that and not be a pastor, you know." I said, "You could go down to the street corner in downtown Pittsburgh where you'll find a whole lot of pagan people. And you can just tell them what you're telling me. Tell them what happened to you. And you can preach. Be a street corner preacher." Well, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a pastor. I said, "Well, Lloyd, you can tell this guy, he's enthusiastic. He wants the Lord to use him. And his someday is now. And he wants, Lord, do something with me. He's the gospel just ready to explode somewhere." And I said, "To be a pastor, I said, you need some experience. You need some training. You need to be plugged into a church. You really need to know the book as well as you can before you become a pastor. Go get some education. Go take some time. Get plugged into a good Bible-believing church. Get plugged into a good Sunday school class. Get to know God's word really well before you take this endeavor of being a pastor." I said, "Because there's more to it than just preaching salvation to the congregation Sunday after Sunday, which can get kind of old if they're saved Sunday after Sunday, okay?" I think I discouraged him a little bit. But I hope I encouraged him because he does have a gift. He has passion. He has the gospel, and he, by golly, he wants to share it. But sometimes you can get too aggressive. What does James chapter 3, verse 1 say? Not all of us are called to be teachers, and not all of us should be teachers / preachers. Because teachers and preachers will what? Be judged more strictly than others. We need to be careful. You better make sure you get your theology straight before you get into a thing like that. So you can go to the other end of that spectrum too. But I can assure you this. My new friend Lloyd, he didn't have a someday. He wanted it right now. Lord, how can you use me? In Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 52, what we just read, it's a story of Paul and Barnabas. We get the gist of the story. They go into the synagogue. They start preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. They're in the Jewish synagogue. Hey, listen, fellow Jews, guess what we know? That the Messiah, the promised Messiah, he's here. Jesus of Nazareth. He came to forgive us of our sins. And they preached the gospel message. Some of the Jews just didn't like that. Chased them out of town. What happens when they get chased out of town? Do they wave the white flag? And do they say, all right, Lord, you know what? This is a little too dangerous for me. You know what? I'll preach his message as long as people start hugging on me and loving me. And, oh, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And that's not happening. They're kicking me out of their town. You know, Lord, by the way, some people have dragged me out of town. Some people have beat me up. Some people have stoned me. Some people really don't like me. Some people have threatened me. And what did Paul say? You know what, Lord? I'll pick this back up someday. He doesn't say someday, does he? Come on, Barnabas. Let's move on. There's people who need to hear what we have to say. And we're not going to let a little bit of persecution and being dragged out of the city stop us. As a matter of fact, on the other hand, we feel good about our persecution because we know this. We're doing what the Lord wants us to do. They did not let adversity stop them. Doing the work of the Lord, in whatever capacity that might be, for whatever He has gifted you to do, and He's gifted us all differently, when you start doing it, instead of saying, someday, Lord, I'll do it, you say, Lord, I'll do that now. I'll do that now. I guarantee this. It will be the most rewarding life experience you will ever have. Because you don't walk it alone. And that's when you start getting to feel the real power of the God who saved you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will take this walk with you and I will equip you to do what I want you to do. So, are you saying when He comes a knocking, do you say, someday, Lord, I'll do it someday. Maybe come back tomorrow, next week, next year, when, you know, I'm a little more mature in my Christian walk. I say this, let's make our someday today. Let's go to God in prayer.